John chapter 15 and verse 24. John chapter 15 and verse 24. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And also verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And that is our subject this morning, no cloak for our sin. Well, these words, well, they are tremendous words, words spoken, as I've mentioned already, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, words spoken in the upper room where the Lord and his disciples had their last supper. This is the last day of Christ's earthly ministry. He is only a few hours away from his crucifixion, and the last hours of his ministry, well, will be to his disciples in the upper room. And well, there's so much we could look at in this chapter. It's a glorious chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ exhorts his disciples to abide in him. He speaks about being the vine in the early chapters, in the early verses of this chapter. He exhorts the disciples to love one another, and we read that together. This is my commandment in verse 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's the reason why Christian people love one another, because we are so greatly loved by God. And also, well, the Lord speaks about certain things to be aware of. Certain warnings are given to the disciples. And well, there are many things that we could say about these also. In verse 18, for example, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying those who follow him, well, they will be hated because Christ was hated. Was Christ hated? Did the world hate Christ? Well, yes, in a great sense, it did. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had been born into the Jewish nation, his own people, as it were, and yet his own people rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And the religious Jews particularly, the leading Jews, certainly hated him and desired to have him done away with as soon as possible. And, well, we know that he conspired with Judas Iscariot to have him arrested and to be taken to Pontius Pilate so that he be crucified. And, well, we remember also that Pilate gave the people a choice. Who do you want to be released? You can have the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. He can be released unto you. Or you can have Barabbas, a murderer. And what did the people say? What did the crowd say? What did the world say? They wanted Barabbas. They didn't want the Lord Jesus. They rejected him. Let him die, they were saying. It was as if they hated him. Yes, the world hated him in that sense. And well, we spoke about this last week, but it was because of the message that he brought. This message of repentance, this message of how salvation was to be achieved by faith alone, not by works, but by faith. That is how we are to be saved, and faith in him alone. People don't like that message, and they still don't like that message. Indeed, the hatred for the message of God is even greater now than perhaps it was then. And then, well, after that, well, verse 19 we could speak at length about. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Christian people have been chosen out of the world. And, we must remember that as Christian people, because it seems so many Christian people, or people who say they're Christian, they want the world and the church. They want to still be in the world and do all the things that the world does and have all the pleasures of the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ says here, you are not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we all have to go and live in monasteries and nunneries and so on. We have to live in the world. We have to work in the world. But we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We have been chosen out. And it seems that so many Christians have forgotten these things. This is what it is to repent. So if we're Christian people here this morning, well, I just thought I would begin reminding us of these vital truths and how we are to live as the Lord's people. But our main focus, of course, will be on those words. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. No cloak. Well, a cloak, ordinarily speaking, is a garment that we wear that perhaps would conceal things, conceal our bodies, of course. We would wear a cloak. And that is part of the sense of these words. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world, well, now we have no way to hide our sin. Or rather, perhaps putting it in a better way, we have no excuse for our sin. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry, his gospel message, and the preaching of the gospel means that we don't have any excuse for our sin. This is essentially what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. No excuse for sin. And this is a very important truth, because it seems to me that we as a human race, we are experts, we are very skilled at making excuses for our sin. We always excuse our sin. It starts at a very early age, of course. Little children, you don't need to teach them this, but they seem to be experts at making excuses for sin. We see it so often, particularly in this church, in the Sunday school, at the Friday meeting. You see perhaps a boy hitting somebody over the head or something. You try to stop them. You try to ask them what they're doing. Well, they will excuse their sin immediately. Oh, it was his fault. It's the other person's fault. That's why he got me angry. Therefore, I shouldn't be blamed for hitting him over the head, for punching him in the head. There's always an excuse for sin. Even at an early age, we learn how to excuse all our sins. And that doesn't need to be taught to us. It's in our nature. This, of course, carries into our adult age. We're constantly excusing our sin. We lie. We lie so easily in this day and age, and yet we always excuse our lies. We excuse them. We say, well, I lie because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't tell them the truth because, they'll be offended. So that's why I lie. It's easier just to lie. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But, you know, that's an excuse. That's a cloak for sin. It's a justification. But this is how easily we fall into it. We sin, and yet we try and make an excuse, a justification. Other people, well, we hear this quite often. People blame their environment for their sin. Those who are thieves, those who are murderers and abusers, well, they always blame their environment or their background. Oh, it's because of where I grew up. You see, I grew up in a very rough place. And there was all sorts of things going on. There was crime and everything. And my parents were bad and they never taught me this. They never taught me that. That's why. That's an excuse for sin. It's a cloak for your sin. Oh, it's my environment. If I'd had better education, if we'd had more money, then I wouldn't be like this. And we hear this so often. Perhaps you think that's right. Perhaps you agree with that. Oh, it's not people who are sinful, it's the environment. That's the conclusion that we come to. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about sin? Well, the Bible very clearly tells us that we have to take responsibility for our sin. We have to take responsibility. The scriptures say that sin comes from within us. It comes from our hearts. It's not from outside and then invades us. Sin comes from within us. That is clearly taught in the New Testament. It's in the letter of James, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, well, he said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from where? From the environment? No, from within, from the heart of man. That is where sin comes from. It's not the environment. By the way, why is the environment sinful? Why do we live in a world where there is such crime and injustice and corruption? It's because of our sin. It's because of the sin that comes from within us. That's why the environment is so bad. It's because of our sin. So the word of God is true. The sin of all of us comes from within. The Bible teaches us you have to take responsibility for your sin. You have to confess your sin before God. You don't blame other people for your sin. You confess your sin before God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That is the teaching of the Bible. And dear friends, we must believe these things if we profess to believe in the scriptures. The word of God is always true. But the word cloak, as I mentioned already, it can also mean, well, not just an excuse, but something that conceals our sin or disguises our sin. You know, people have so many disguises for sin. You think they're doing one thing, but actually they're sinning. They're sinning. I know many people, before I was saved, they would get away with saying many hurtful things to people. They would get away with being very cruel to people, being very manipulative, saying very unkind things. How would they get away with it? Oh, they'd say, "Oh, I'm only joking. It's just my humor." Their humor, their jokes, it was an excuse, a cloak for their sin. They were actually being very nasty and cruel and unkind. But, "Oh, don't blame me, I'm just joking." It's a cloak for their sin. We disguise our sin. Is that what you do? Is there anything in your life that correlates to that? You do one thing, but actually it's a cloak for your sin. You know, religion can be a cloak for your sin. Religion itself. People sometimes, they go to church, they're religious outwardly because it hides their inward corruption. It hides their inward state. They think to themselves, "Oh, if I just go to church, everybody will think I'm good. I'm a good person. I can do what I want throughout the week. I can tell lies. I can manipulate people. I can watch worldly things. I can do everything that the world wants. But if I just go to church, oh, everyone will think I'm good." It's a cloak for their sin. Dear friends, I hope, again, that there's nobody here like that. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they dress in religious clothes, they act all religious, but inwardly they are corrupt. It's a cloak for their sin. Dear friends, if you come to church, we have to examine ourselves. Are we inwardly right with God? Do we actually have faith? Don't treat this church as a cloak for your sin. That's a great warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. But time is running on, and there's more that I wanted to say about these things. Look at verse 22 again. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. If I had not come and spoken unto them. Well, Christ has come. The eternal Son of God came down from heaven to earth to show forth the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is not hidden. Salvation is not like hidden treasure that you have to go and dig and you don't know where it is. Christ has come. The gospel has come. Christ has come and spoken to us. And what has Christ said? Well, Christ does not simply tell us that we are sinners. That's not why he's come, just to tell us that we're sinners, full stop, that's it. No, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save the world, not to condemn it, to tell us that there is a way out of our sinful state, to tell us that there is a way of forgiveness, a way of acceptance with God, a way to everlasting life. That is what Christ speaks to us. That was his message, that you don't need to remain in your sin, but that there is a way to God, and that that way is in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, through faith in him. Do we have faith? This is the great question. Do we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross at Calvary? That the Lord Jesus, when he died, as we prayed earlier, when he died, when he suffered on that cross, it was for me, for my sin, sins that I have committed. Yes, me, in my life. Christ died on the cross for my sin. And he made full atonement because of his everlasting love for us. This is what Christ has spoken to us. And well, Christ speaks not just through his words, but you know, when Christ came, he did wonderful works. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. Well, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he performed many great miracles. You know all these things, all the healing miracles. The lame were able to walk. The deaf were able to hear, lepers were cleansed. What was the point of him doing all that? Was it to tell us that we should all go out and heal people? No, you're missing the point if that's all you think. The message of the healing miracles was that anybody can come to Christ. Anybody. There's no excuse not to come. You can't say, oh, I'm too bad to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done terrible things. I could never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't say that. Because in the healing miracles, what do we see? We see people, no matter what state they were in, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and being healed. That's what the healings teach us, that anybody can come. Even the dead were raised. Nobody can come and say, oh, I'm not a spiritual person. Oh, I've never been a spiritual person. This religion is for spiritual people. Oh, no. Even if you're cold and spiritually dead, do you not know that Christ is able to raise the dead? To breathe into you spiritual life so that you go from being somebody who does not know God, does not care about God, into somebody who loves God with all his heart. You're spiritually alive. You're walking with the Lord. That's what the healing miracles teach us. Everybody, anybody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, you don't have any excuse. This is what the Lord is saying. If Christ had not come and shown all these things to you, well, perhaps you might have an excuse. But now that Christ has come, and he's shown you very clearly that anyone can come and be saved, you have no excuse at all. you have no excuse at all to reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the lessons, and how solemn and how challenging they are. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one last thing just to consider before we come to conclusion. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And look at verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Well, we must have the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn against Christ, if you reject Christ, you are rejecting God. You cannot say that you believe in God if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have faith in the Son. You must have faith in what he has done. That's what the Apostle John says later in the New Testament, 1 John 2:23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have faith in him, you don't have God at all. You have nothing to do with God. So come and have faith. You must receive him. Don't reject him, dear friends. One last exhortation. If you reject the Lord, you really have no cloak for your sin. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is the proof that you are a sinner. You know, some people say, I'm not really a sinner. I haven't done anything wrong. Therefore, I don't need the gospel. They reject the gospel. But dear friends, your rejection of the gospel is one of the proofs. It's one of the great proofs that you are a sinner. If you hear this message that the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Son into the world, the only begotten of the Father, he sent his beloved Son into the world to take upon himself your sins that you have committed, to take upon himself the punishment for your sin, to suffer and to die, even though he knew no sin at all. If you reject that message, well, doesn't that show how sinful you are? How cold you are? How hard-hearted you are? You hear about Christ and you really don't care. You don't care at all. You're not willing to even entertain the thought of coming to faith. Doesn't that actually show you how cold you are? How uncaring? How unloving you are? You don't care about God and about Christ coming into the world. This is one of the proofs, perhaps the greatest proof, that you actually are a sinner. If Christ had not come, perhaps you would have some excuse, but now you don't have any excuse at all. So this is what I want to leave with you. When you leave this building, remember, you have absolutely no excuse for rejecting the gospel. When you stand before God at the end of time, and we all have to do that, you will have no excuse. You will be speechless before your God, but there is time. Christ has come. Christ offers us salvation. Take it. Take it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God for faith, and you will be saved and eternally blessed. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for the gospel message. We thank thee that Christ has come into the world. And Lord, we know that there is no longer any cloak for our sin. There is no longer any excuse. Christ has suffered and died that we may be forgiven. Christ has removed all condemnation from us But we must believe in him. May we not be cold. May we not be hard-hearted this day. May we not dare to leave this place thinking that we can justify our sin. There is no possible excuse. So, Lord, come and help us turn to thee. Lead us to repentance and grant us saving faith. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.